Well, today is Pentecost Sunday, and I don't know why it's not a bigger deal in the church. I mean, we have Christmas. We all know about all that goes with Christmas, and then we have Easter and the Resurrection Sunday, and that definitely should be celebrated. I don't know if we should be with Easter eggs, but anyway, it's another story. But we have Pentecost Sunday, and it's a big deal. It's, the Holy Spirit coming to the earth. I mean, Jesus said it's to your advantage that I go away so that I can send the Holy Spirit. So it is a big deal, and we want to acknowledge that today. And if you haven't done your Bible reading lately, I'm going to help you with that today because I got a lot of verses we're going to read. I'm just, looking out for you. So get your Bible reading in today. But we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit coming and what that means for us today. And so let's start off with Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, if you have your Bibles. If you don't, you can look on in the screen, on the screens. Acts 1, verse 4. It says, "And being assembled together with them," Jesus, he died, he was buried, he was raised on the third day, descended into hell, defeated the devil, and then came back, and he was on the earth for 40 days. And I think one of the main purposes was to get the disciples straightened out. A lot of things happening and getting them back on track. And so it's in that context. He's just about to be ascended into heaven. And so he's speaking here. "And being dissembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water." And that word baptized means to immerse. When you dunk somebody, totally under the water. That's what that means. "You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So you're going to be immersed, baptized in the Holy Spirit. "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth.'" Now, the disciples are not, at this point, they're not really aware of what's happening. They know some things, but they're just not grasping really what Jesus is saying. And they're still thinking about a political system. They're thinking about Israel as a kingdom. You remember Peter in the garden, he's got a sword. He's thinking about the military. He's Jesus' bodyguard, all of that. And so they're just not really on the same page as Jesus is. And Jesus kind of puts that aside and says, "Okay, here, again, this is what's happening. Stay here in Jerusalem. Wait on the promise of the Father. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and with power. And the purpose of that is for you to be a witness." And a witness, what they do is they share what they've seen and what they've heard. That's what a witness does. And if they're in the court of law, they'll give a testimony. And we had an excellent service on Wednesday night, and Susie was talking about that, about testimonies and the power of our testimony and sharing your story with people. People will listen to your story. You're not preaching at them. You're just sharing what the goodness of God and what God has done for you. And people need to hear your story. I love hearing people's story. And we hear people's story all day long, but I think Christians are afraid, for whatever reason, to offend people or whatever, to share their story. But the world needs to hear your story. They need to hear the story of how you were one way, and Jesus came along, and you met Jesus, and you received him, and then the change. I mean, look, we can go around this room. Look what God has done. So many things. And it just doesn't end when you get saved. It's not a one-time transformation over and over miracles and signs and wonders and blessings and things that he does in our lives, in our families, the people that we know. I was visiting somebody in the hospital this last week, and they've been to the church, but they're not a member of the church. You know, we have a lot of people that are part of this church that aren't really here a lot. And so this is one of those people. And so I was visiting him in the hospital, and they had their daughter was there, and her husband were there. And there just was just an openness to share the things of God. So I was just encouraging, kind of a serious situation, and I was just encouraging and bringing life and being a life giver. That's what we're trained to do here. And in the middle, and it was really by the inspiration on Wednesday, I shared a little bit of my testimony. And I tell you, the spiritual power came into the room when I started doing that. There was a tangible difference in that hospital room when I began to share my story and share about the goodness of God and how he's transformed me. And so I just want to encourage you, you've got a testimony. And the Holy Spirit will help you share those words to others that need to hear it. But he says you'll be a witness in Jerusalem. You'll be a witness in your city. Judea is like a state or a region. Samaria is to outcasts, the downtrodden, the people that no one else will talk to. That's what Samaria represents, and to the end of the earth. And some people, their witness will lead them to other nations. But you know that the word nations is not like United States, Canada, Mexico. United Nations is talking about people groups. And you know, and so it's ethnic groups. And I'm telling you, we're having more and more and more we don't have to go anywhere. More and more ethnic groups right here in our city, in this nation. We've got a team going to New York City, and I don't know how many different ethnic groups. I mean, hundreds of the area that they're going to. It's like one of the most ethnic groups in one spot on the earth, and that's where they're going to minister. And this ministry works with those different groups. And I'm telling you, the world is coming to us. And we still need to go to the nations, and God's still raising up missionaries. But we can be missionaries in our own city. And if you start walking around, you'll see so many different people from other places that are here. And we need to be a witness. And God's given us a power to be a witness. And so they stayed in Jerusalem, and they were obedient to the command of Jesus. And so I'll just say to the barbers, there's rewards for obedience, and to others, for all of us. When you're being obedient to God, yeah, I mean, it's scary stepping out and following God and not having all the answers. But when you're obedient to him, there's a blessing attached to it that you wouldn't have otherwise. He rewards obedience. Now, he appeared to over 500 during those 40 days, but only 120 made it to the upper room. So not everybody's obedient, but 120 folks were. And so let's pick it up in Acts 1, verse 12. Let's continue with our scripture reading. Acts 1, verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they were in the upper room where they were staying. Peter. Now, this is, I believe this is talking about the leadership here initially. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120. So in this group of 120, there were leaders. We still need leaders in the body of Christ. Looks like Peter, James, John were the leadership. And what did they do when they came together? They prayed. They fellowshipped. What is fellowship? Fellowship is sharing. It's sharing our stuff. It's sharing our heart. It's sharing our testimony. That's what fellowship is. They shared meals together. They made decisions, you know, administrative decisions. They decided on the next apostle. And so they're clumped up together in this. It's got to be a pretty big room, 120 people. That's a lot of people to take care of. And they get together for 10 days. But at this point, they're not changing anything. They're not impacting their city. They're not going to nations. They're not reaching the outcasts. And, you know, and I hate to say it, but a lot of churches today are really in that predicament. They're doing spiritual things, but they're making no impact. And that is not God's plan. But one of the things it talks about, which is vital, which is so difficult to do, it says they were in one accord. Everybody say one accord. One accord is mentioned over and over in the book of Acts. And every time it's mentioned, amazing things happen. Miracles happen. And one accord is people coming together with a common cause, laying aside differences, really laying aside their way of doing things or how they think it should be done, and coming together for a greater purpose. And the cause, obviously the cause of Christ, it's the Great Commission, reaching people, reaching the lost. And if we're going to do anything here at Good News Church, and Nate and Kristen, if you guys are going to do anything, the people that you're with, you got to be unified. And so I just want to say this to each of us, you know, on Pentecost Sunday, to each of us, we have to do all we can to promote unity. We've got to be the ones to not be part of the problem, because the enemy loves division. Why does he fight our marriages so much? Because he knows that how powerful that marriage union is if they'll come together. So he's doing whatever he can to get in there and cause division. What's division? Two visions. And so God works through one accord. He works through unity. And I've been spending a lot of time in prayer. Even this week we had daily prayer. A lot of time in prayer, praying about this city, praying about unity, about ministries coming together, and then praying about this church. Because I know the devil, I know what he wants to do here, and he sees the plan and the vision that God's given us about empowering life givers and raising up life givers and sending them out. And he's going to fight that. He's going to try to do what he can to bring division. But I'm believing for one accord. And I need your help. Don't be part of the problem. Don't give into that. Don't give into gossip. Don't give into tearing people down. Don't get into making fun of people that are different than you. That does not promote unity. And I know that's the way of the world. We live in this sarcastic, make fun of everything, criticize everybody, criticize leaders. But I tell you, all of that, that's the world's way. We do things differently following Jesus. We're different. And so one accord, it's biblical. It's something that we're shooting for. It's our standard. It's not easy, but God will help us. And it's absolutely vital. You need one accord in your home. You got to fight for that. You got to do all you can to have that in your marriage and in your family. But the day of Pentecost, and I'm going to read about it here in a minute, the day of Pentecost changed everything. It changed this band of people that were really timid and afraid and, you know, no clue of really what's happening, what God's doing. And it changed this group of people to on fire believers changing their world. And so I declare today, we need a contemporary Pentecost. The body of Christ needs a fresh Pentecost. The church, this church, Good News, needs a fresh Pentecost. You need it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need it. Now thump yourself real hard in the chest and say, I need it. All right, let's read Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled, just like Jesus promised. They were all filled, all 120, all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues. It's a heavenly language, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there, dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation. You see, it's a feast day. Jerusalem is packed. There's thousands of people on the streets, all people everywhere, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" And so they hear witnessing and says about the wonderful works of God. I counted at least 13 different languages. 13. I mean, and there was more, because it kind of gives categories of folks. This is exactly what he was talking about in Acts 1, verse 8. About the nations, about people groups. And seeing as a sign here on the day of Pentecost. Thousands of people are all around. And so this is the way I saw it. I mean, when that rushing mighty wind came in to this upper room, I believe it blew these people out from their timidity, out from their fear, out into the streets. And they begin to move by the Holy Spirit and speak in different languages and talk and really testify, right, of the wonderful works of God. Now we pray in Matthew 9 about thrusting out the laborers. And sometimes we're like, well, what does that mean? Well, that's what happened here. If laborers are going to be sent out, it's going to be by the Holy Spirit. And that's where the boldness, that's what we got to pray about, boldness. When people are thrust out, it's meaning they're comfortable in their situation. And God, by the Holy Spirit, he's not going to pick them up by, you know, by the shirt, you know, like a puppy and move them over here. No, it's they're obedient, they're following the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit does, he moves them. And we've been praying about that, because a lot of people in the church today were timid, were comfortable, and we're not being bold like we need to. We need to pray for boldness. We need to pray for bold leadership. We need to pray and believe God on purpose, because the Holy Spirit wants to send us out. He wants to send you out in your world. But so many folks are comfortable. It's like the glory days have been in the past. I don't want the glory days to be in the past. The glory days need to be here and in our future. And these were, you know, I mean, I know the disciples, many of them were there with Jesus for 3 years and did a lot of things, but there's ordinary folks in the upper room, blown out on the street by the power of God. He'll work through anybody that's open, through anybody that's willing, anybody that will be obedient. And it took obedience, because they had to be obedient to be there in the right place at the right time. I pray that all the time. Pray it this week. I'm in the right place at the right time with the right people saying the right things. There's reward for obedience. There's more power in obedience. There's more fruitfulness in obedience. What is he saying to you? Be quick to obey. What's the word of God saying to you? That's where you start learning obedience, is from the word. And one of the things we've been talking about in DMM, Disciple Making Movements, we've been talking about obedience versus knowledge-based teaching. Because we hear messages and hear teaching, and we know all this stuff, but we're kind of just getting puffed up, and we're not doing anything with it. What we're talking about is being obedient. As you read something in the Word, you don't go any further until you obey what you read. And you'll get better following the Holy Spirit when you get better at obeying the Word. Yes. That's where it starts. That's His plan. That's His formula, the way He sets things up. You read it in the Word, you see it in the Word, and you do it. So in your study time this week that you will be having, I want you to look for things, the commands of Jesus. When Jesus appeared on was on the earth those 40 days, it says he was giving them commands. We need to look in the Bible and find the commands of Jesus and do it. And when you do that, you're going to see the power of God. Man, do you want to see that? Do you want to see signs, wonders, and miracles? You want to see good things happen because you're there? Be obedient to the Word. Just do it. I just made that up. Just do it. Do it. You do it. I'll do it. There could be a whole campaign with that. Yeah, Holy Spirit swoosh. Eddie, work on that, okay? get your creative team on that. All right, let's continue on to 14. Now we're talking about Peter, the guy that denied Jesus three times, not just once, but three times. Frank, Peter denied Christ in front of some girls. What? What kind of man is that? That ain't our kind of man, is it? Denying Jesus in front of some little girls. Corey, we're going to do that? So this is Peter. It gives us a lot of hope here. But Peter, now look at him now, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, he's got thousands of people around him, and he suddenly now is emboldened. Raises his voice, said, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, 9 a.m. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on the flesh, on all flesh. We don't need to wait for it. It's already happened. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men. Do we have any young men in the house? I'm raising my hand. Your young men shall see. You know, it depends on what I need, a vision or a dream. Your old men shall dream dreams. Whatever it is, I'll take whatever. I'm right in the middle there. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Meaning you're going to have inspired utterance. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. I'll show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Miracles. Blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're living in that hour. We're living in it right now. We're living in the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's been poured out. Let's receive it. Let's wake up. Let's walk in it. Let's have a fresh anointing. Let's have our own Pentecost here today. Come on, wind. Come on, tongues of fire. We're not timid. We're not afraid. We're not all huddled up in our little room. Who wants to be blown away by the Holy Spirit? Who wants to be blown out in the street, thrust out into the harvest field? And when you be obedient and say, if you're given an assignment by the Holy Spirit to go to the hospital room or go to the school or go to the nursing home, whatever it is, don't be afraid of what you're going to say. He's going to give you the words. You're going to be inspired.
Hallelujah.
He uses ordinary people like us to do extraordinary things, but he needs people that are willing and open to him. Hallelujah. And the last part of your Bible reading for today is found, this is your last assignment, Acts chapter 2, because I know you're reading along on the screen, Acts 2, verse 38. And look at the results of Peter's sermon. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted to them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls. That's a pretty good sermon. 3,000 souls were added to them. Logistics of baptizing 3,000 people. This is a different group. Verse 42. Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common, sold their possessions. So today I want you to sell you. No. I'm not that kind of preacher. And sold their possessions and good, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those being saved. What a beginning for the church. Now, as I was just studying this, and Susie and I have been talking about this, it seems there's a biblical pattern here about them coming together, being filled with the Holy Spirit, then being sent out, then coming back together, praying, worshiping, fellowshipping, having meals together, and then going back, being filled, going back out. I mean, kind of like going to the gas station. You know, you're driving your car and it gets on empty. You got to go back to the station, get tanked up. And so if we talk about getting together in maybe a smaller prayer group, or maybe your family at home or your church family, whatever it is. And so if we talk about that, about getting together and being in one accord, and then we have the whole thing about being sent out to people in our world, or maybe even to other nations or people groups, which is more important? Which is more important, the gathering or the sending? I say to you today, both are equally important. We need both. And so we need that. We need a body of believers that we're fellowshipping with. You remember after they were threatened, after they healed the folks on healed the guy in the gate called Beautiful and the lame guy and raised him up, and then they preached the gospel. 5,000 were saved. The Sanhedrin took them aside and threatened them. And what did they do? They went back to their companions. We just need to get a revelation. Companions or friends or brothers and sisters. We need that. And if we're going to do anything to impact Augusta or this area or Columbia or other places, we need each other. And we can't let that... I don't know, is it apathy? I don't know what it is. just, you know, like, well, it doesn't really matter if I show up. It doesn't matter if I come. See, you're not understanding the importance of fellowship. You're not understanding the importance of your brothers and sisters. Well, maybe you don't need anything, but maybe you're to give something to someone today. What happens if you didn't show up and the person, there was someone there you were supposed to minister to? See, we have to start thinking a bigger picture about what God's doing. One accord is important to Him. And in this day of division, we are living in just the whole world is in chaos and division. Where's that division coming from? I mean, we can blame the news media or this person or that leader or whatever else, but it's all, behind it all is the enemy. He steals, kills, and destroys. He loves to divide. What did he do in the garden? He divided Adam and Eve from God. That's what he does. And we gotta see his devices, see what he's doing. And the beauty of it, what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, he defeated the devil.
Hallelujah.
And the devil is now under our feet. And we've been given authority. We have authority in this city. We have authority in our neighborhoods. But we've been silent. We got to start boldly speaking up. We need to start prophesying. Start prophesying to your neighborhood. Start prophesying to this city. That's why you got to pray. Be inspired. Yes. Go to the Word and get some fuel, but then start speaking it out.
Hallelujah.
And when you start doing that, things will begin to change, and then you'll start seeing things, and you'll start acting out what you see. You'll be obedient to what He shows you to do. But both are important. The gatherings and the sending, both are important. And so, I don't know, and some of us are better at one or the other, but let's be good at both of those. And realize that God wants us to impact our area. It's not about size of this congregation or how many bodies we have in here. I want us to grow. I want more people in here. But it's not about that. It's about us being an impact in our world. You go places I can't go, or I don't go. And I want you to go, you know, I mean, just looking at all the different places that you guys go and where you work and all the different places. It's amazing. And what God's plan is to have Holy Ghost, Word people, life givers, witnessers, is that a word?
It is.
Witnesses, thank you. Witnesser.
Praise God.
What's your job? I'm a witnesser. That sounds pretty good. But we need that. And then we need people that are not timid and not afraid. And that's where we need the boldness. And the boldness comes from the Holy Spirit. That's what He does. And He'll inspire you and embolden you and give you the words. Now let me just, before, this is my first closing. But you know, and we talk about the power, and we should, about the Holy Ghost and power. And that word power is dynamis. It means miracle power. And we should be talking about that. But He also fills us up with His love. Doesn't He? The Spirit of God, He's the Spirit of love. And so let's operate while we're together in that. Let's be believing for that Spirit of love to operate here in this body. And just that same kind of boldness. And we speak love to each other. And we're graced. This would be a grace place.
Yeah.
And be just as bold as we are, witnessing to the guy, wherever, family member, whatever. And that's all about love, too. It's really all about love.
That's right.
And it's about passion for people. When you start hanging out with God, I mean, He loved us so much, He sent His only Son.
Yeah.
Now, that's great love. No greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. And so He demonstrated His great love for us. And how about Jesus? Now, come on. We're talking about him and his great love and going to the cross and all that he did. He didn't have to do that. He left his divine kingdom to come to the earth to be with us. And then to suffer. He could have called legions of angels in to rescue him. And he's there before Pontius Pilate and he's silent. God, he demonstrated, Jesus showed us his love. And the Holy Spirit, he is love. And then he's to come and to fill us up with his love. And so let's be believing for that to be while we're, and you know, and that love in a body will be a witness to others coming in, because they will know that we are his disciples by our love one for another. And that's not the spirit of the world, though. The world's about hate. The world's about tearing down, making fun of people. All the different things about that's the world. Divide, division. But I tell you, the spirit of love brings people together. Brings people together that, you know, really in the natural probably shouldn't be hanging out together. There's really no reason. But Jesus brings us together.
Hallelujah.
Isn't it amazing? It's amazing the people that are here today and the different backgrounds. And I love you guys. I'm for you. I want to know, you know, and hearing your story and the testimony of what God's done. But I just want you to know, God, he's just getting started. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just give him praise. Let's give him praise. Give him glory. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. Oh, thank you, Father. I thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. Baptism of the Holy Spirit and grace. Baptism of the Holy Spirit and love. Lord, I just pray for a freshness coming into this body today. A freshness coming into our lives, our relationships, into this church, into the leadership. Oh, we ask you for it. We're believing for it. We just open our hearts to you. Just where you are, just talk to them. Have them come afresh in me. Change me. Transform me. Empower me. Embolden me. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah.